105 of Speak On It. I am your host, Danny Ocean, as always, joined by the smoothest man on the planet, Losty Mix. That's a beautiful shirt you have on. How are you doing this afternoon?
Thank you, my brother. First off, shout out Sesame Street. Shout out Champion. I really like this shirt. My brother, I am doing great, man. How are you doing? You know it's always a blessing when I see you and people. You already know when you see this Nas fade, it could only be one brother, the good brother, Los D Mix. Listen, man, you know, as well, I don't know if you know specifically with your hair situation, but as black men, our haircut is important. I got a wedding on Thursday, but I just got a haircut like a week and a half ago. And so I'm in that in-between area where like, I don't feel like I need a haircut, but I don't feel like I don't need a haircut.
So I remember what it's like to have hair. I remember what it was like going to the barbershop. I still go to the barbershop for my beard every other week. Yeah, it's something about it, man. It just instills a level of confidence that you just can't get anywhere else.
Yeah. The problem, I'm not going to say a problem. When I get a haircut, my brother, I'm dangerous. Not dangerous in a bad way. It's too fine to be out here just roaming the streets. And I don't mean in the streets with some of you birds. I'm talking about literally, like, it's dangerous for me to be outside when you're walking around with this much fine going on. Jesus. My brother, listen, haircut aside, outside of getting ready for this wedding and whatnot, I've been listening to a lot of this new Gunna album.
Talk to me.
Listen, you know me. You know me well. I am no street dude. So I know that Gunna... Well, there are, you know, there is a large portion of people who live and die by street rules. I'm not one of them. So, as you know, Gunna has been involved in his YSL RICO case. Yep. He took what is called an Alford plea deal to the legal community out here. I don't know the true formalities of an Alford plea deal, so I'm not even going to try to get into it. Plea deal or not, Gunna said he's not a snitch. And then I listened to his album. If he said he not a snitch, I'ma believe it. You know why? My brother, let me play you a little something off this show. Let me play you a little something. This song right here is called Turn Your Back. Turn Your Back. You know when a rapper is just rapping like the rent is due? Like he rapping like he got like, come on now. On this one, he just talking about how they turned their back on him.
And I'll add to those who call him a rat. Let the feds come to you and say, yo, we got 25 years of federal prison hanging over your head. What do you want to do? Y'all will turn into Master Splinter in a heartbeat.
Listen, I am so glad you mentioned that, because a lot of internet Twitter fingers get on here and say, no, if I was facing that time and I did it, you think I'm going to go in there and tell? And I'm always like, I mean, yeah, yes. That sounds good on paper, until the man come in there and just drop a, listen, dog, you are facing. You know when they start off with, listen, you know you're facing whatever number come after the facing, you're gonna be upset. You're gonna be not even that. I don't care if it's a day, I don't care if it's a month, I don't care if it's 6 months, I don't care if it's a year, 10 years. Listen, I am no criminal. I'm snitching.
Listen, there are very few people that I would even entertain doing prison time for.
How short is that list for you?
Three people. Probably three. Maybe up to five. Say this. Don't do anything illegal in front of me.
Listen, why don't criminals ever understand that, yo? Yo, some people are regular people. They've been regular people. Yeah, maybe they were a little on the juvenile side of regular people, but they're still law-abiding citizens at the end of the day. So if you put them in a position where they facing the law, the man, the system, and they put 25 to life. Fam, when they say 25 to life, I'm singing like a canary. What you want to know? Bring me the Burger King. Bring me the Wendy's.
I'll do this for free. I don't want no food to eat. He over there, officer. This what he did. Go get him.
And to all you street dudes out here who be quick to like show your paperwork, so on and so forth, I want to let you know, if you got to do all that just to let people know that you didn't snitch, I think maybe you should stop doing criminal activities. At least consider it. Yo, it's funny because you know it's in our community too. It's a our community thing, because white folks just get snitching.
White man said, I ain't going to jail for none of my compadres. Oh, that's on them.
Oh, man. Listen, if you a brother or a person of color out here with some white amigos, they have probably let you know as some you could probably tell. I ain't commit no crimes around them.
Nope.
They are singing.
Bob will point me out in a lineup in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And are we talking right now? If you are a person of color and you got white friends, you probably know that if some shit go down, who do you think the police is quickly going to apprehend?
You.
You. They're going to try to quickly pin that on you. What? You still what? Nah, y'all went in there stealing candy bars. Y'all was stealing candy bars because you had cocaine in your trunk.
There it is. That's the one. They're going to check you for blow. Yeah, not Chuck.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I don't trust no police to search anything. You don't know what. Listen, they could put something on you.
Yep.
Listen. Hey,
they got a brick on them. You got
what did Charles Barkley say about committing crimes?
Don't do it with checks.
Don't do it with checks. Jesse Smollett, we still on your head. I'm still on your head, dog. Show me the subway that you got jumped out at.
In Chicago.
Can you believe that? Yo, they said straight men, our silence was deafening. Deafening.
It's so funny because as soon as that happened, Charles Barkley was like, that ain't happened. Just on TV, he's like, that ain't happened. That ain't happened.
Listen, I'm not a criminal. I don't commit criminal activities. But I know when somebody's lying. Like, you got jumped at the subway.
First thing Chuck said was, nah, that ain't happening.
You got jumped at the subway, dog?
You went to subway at midnight?
You was getting the cold cut, huh? And they robbed you. They saw you. They saw you with your little cold cut. They had to get you up out of here. Man, how you doing, man? What's up? What's up? Tell the people where the show is brought to them by.
First and foremost, tonight is a special night. It is, first of all, the show is brought to you by goingfor2.com. Head over to goingfor2.com for all your fantasy needs. And today is Jeff's birthday. For all who don't know, Jeff is the founder, the CEO, the head honcho of Going For Two. He works extremely hard to make sure that all this content comes free and to make sure that we have the tools to bring you this content. So happy birthday, Jeff.
Happy birthday, Jeff. Hope you're doing well, man.
To many, many, many more.
And Jeff, when you hear this, we're going to get you up here for an episode.
He's a 49ers fan. I don't know, man. I don't know.
What happened last time y'all played?
We smoked them, man.
Exactly. They still saying if they would have had their quarterback, it would have been a closer game. I don't know about that. Gator J, if you're hearing this, brother, we're going to get you up here. I done seen some of your notes on the restream. We're going to get you up here. I feel like it'd be a good episode to have you up here, Gator J. If you hear this, we're going to check your DM soon. We're going to be hitting you up.
Dog, Gator J, he educated me the other week on a whole lot of, Gator J is that dude. We knew he was that dude, but Gator J is that dude.
And to any of the other Going For Two members that may be hearing this or any of the people out there, listen, we told y'all in this next 100 episodes, we are bringing more people on. I think Danny and I would love to bring on some more of our Going For Two fellow cast members, writers. Feels like we can get a little bit more colorful with some of these topics.
Colorful, is this the 60s? Whoa.
Hey, I'm bringing out some new adjectives. I'm expanding. I'm expanding the palette.
David Duke, is that you?
I got to expand the aperture of vocabulary around here. This is an audio adventure for the people who may not be watching this live. Shout out to everyone who pulls up to the stream. Shout out to everyone who will be commenting. Shout out to everyone who's listening. We appreciate the support. Danny, what are we talking about today? We got a lot of basketball.
Oh, it's a whole lot of basketball tonight. We're going to talk about NBA. A whole lot has happened. The draft is Thursday. Bradley Beal's in Phoenix. Jaw suspension has come down. Zion. There's a certain big man in Minnesota who thinks he is a revolutionary of some sort. We're going to talk about some WNBA. We're going to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Their odds are repeating. And we're going to play our favorite game, Big Deal or No Deal. And to wrap it up, someone sent us a question. So we're going to answer your question.
Shout out to Speak to Us. Danny, let's get right into it, my brother.
Let's get it cracking. So the NBA, it's the offseason, but I know Denver won last week, but the NBA continues to rule the headlines. Currently, the biggest one is Bradley Beal is now a Phoenix Sun. For those who don't know, Bradley Beal was traded to the Suns for Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, just a bunch of second-round picks and some pick swaps. D, what are your thoughts on the trade, first and foremost?
Initially, I was like most of the internet folks. I saw the trade and I said, first thing I said was, yo, if Bradley Beal can go for that, that means one of two things. One, he had the Wizards by the balls. Like, he basically told them, y'all sending me here, y'all figure out the package, which probably gave Phoenix a lot of leverage. Second thing I thought, okay, you put Bradley Beal, a guy who can get his own shot, a really dynamic score. I think he probably you can count on Bradley Beal to get you anywhere from like 23 to 28 a game easily.
I think he averaged 30 when he played last year.
Yeah, so I think when you mix that in with the obviously the shot making abilities of a Devin Booker and a Kevin Durant, just off that big three alone, you have three guys who can get their own shots. It can create offense, which I believe when you look at Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, that's some of their strengths. I think my thoughts on the trade is, okay, Phoenix, because first, Washington's not going anywhere, so it doesn't even matter what happens on their side of the trade. Strictly staying on Phoenix, I'm so curious now what happens with DeAndre Ayton when I see this trade, because when you see this trade, you got three guys who are probably making over $30 million a year. So that's a lot of cap space between KD, Book, and Beal. I think when you look at it now, if you're trying to fill out the rest of this roster, you're going to have to, I think you're going to probably have to free up some space, cap space, probably to maybe bring in some better role players. But I don't think Frank Vogel believes in DeAndre Ayton. I don't know if the Phoenix Suns organization continues to believe in DeAndre Ayton. I really think DeAndre Ayton kind of probably wants new fresh scenery, probably wants to get a little bit more involved in the offense. I know last year probably got you could tell when his energy and effort wasn't there, when he wasn't getting the ball. I think when you're on a team with Bradley Beal, KD, and Book, the shots are going to be very, very limited. I don't think DeAndre Ayton's going to be a big fan of that. So I think they tried to send him to a – honestly, I think Phoenix and Indianapolis revisit that trade for Miles Turner and potentially some, you know, maybe a Ayton for Miles Turner straight up, or maybe you build some depth, you trade him to another team like for example, you trade him to a team like the Hornets, right? Let's just throw a name out there, the Hornets, and then you maybe get back some younger players that fill out depth. Or maybe you trade him to a team like the Nets for like a Nick Claxton. That way you have a big man who doesn't necessarily need the ball consistently, and maybe with some of that extra, you know, cash revenue, you're able to maybe you're able to get some added wing depth, some added guard depth. I don't know. I think if I'm Phoenix, I'm looking at DeAndre Ayton's contract. I wouldn't want to pay that going forward. I think you find a big man who maybe complements KD, Book, and Beal a little bit better. I think you can fill out this roster with something. I think this Phoenix Suns team could be probably right back where they were last year, right? I think they could easily be in that 2-3-4 range in terms of the seeding. I think they could probably win anywhere between 50 to 56 games. And I think they're going to be right back where they are. This is a really good team. I think curious to see how Frank Vogel brings out the trio of Bradley Beal and KD and D-Book, and how they can coordinate. And defensively, really curious to see how they get after it defensively under Frank Vogel's system. What about you?
The first thing I thought was, who is going to be in the Phoenix starting five? I think there's only six people on that roster right now.
Yeah, so right now, projected starting lineup is Book, Beal, Okogie, KD, Ayton.
And Ayton. I don't think this puts them any closer to Denver. Like, I don't think if they played in a five, you know, in a seven-game series, excuse me, I don't think Phoenix wins that series as constructed. I'm with you. DeAndre Ayton's the last piece with the new CBA. Like, this team's locked in. Like, those three are going to be together for at least 3 years. So if it works, it's going to be great. And if it doesn't work, it's going to be a long 3 years. Bradley and KD tend to get nicked up and hurt a lot more. So I think having those three, you know, if you have two out of the three, you probably have a good chance of winning on any given night. And if you have all three, you probably have a great chance of winning. I think Phoenix, I don't know. Again, like, I believe they had the second best odds of winning the West before the trade, and they're still second best odds to win the West after the trade.
And Denver's still the favorite, I'm guessing?
Yeah, Denver's still the favorite. we'll see. We still have the free agency. We still have the draft. Granted, Phoenix can't trade any more draft picks, so anything for DeAndre Ayton is going to have to be just Ayton straight up for whatever team is willing to offer. But they're already at the salary cap. I believe all four of them, Beal, Book, KD, and Ayton, I think they're at 160. And I think the first tax apron is $161 million. It's something to that effect. So those four guys, you're already at the max. And once you hit that second apron, I believe 2 out of 3 years in the new CBA, like there's some clauses and some rules kick in where you can't just trade your way out of it. So good luck. I just don't think they're any closer to Denver.
See, the way I think the way Phoenix is thinking about it, and we can move on after this. I think the way Phoenix is thinking about it is they looked at Denver's run.
Yep.
They probably told themselves of the, what, four teams that Denver played, between us and the Lakers, the Lakers and the Phoenix Suns probably gave Denver the hardest challenge. Obviously for different reasons. I think defensively.
Really? Because Minnesota actually beat them.
Suns got two games on them.
Lakers got swept.
Yeah, okay. Lakers got swept, but I tell people, if you watch that series, those were four games that could have went either way. Yeah, yes. The Lakers didn't win them, but they were in a position to win every single one of those games except game one.
Yes.
I think the Lakers and the Suns are telling themselves, we have pieces to beat Phoenix. We probably need to fill out the roster a little bit more. I think the Suns are looking at it as, we have two guys that can get their own shots, and we saw how that gave Phoenix some trouble. Now we got a third guy. If we fill out the roster with other guys who can complement them, we can really give these guys fits, because there's just too many dynamic scores for y'all to just double anybody, really. I mean, you can't. Who are you going to – I mean, you got to send a double somewhere. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
I am interested to see who they get to play point guard, because I think Devin Booker's energy is better spent – trying to find his own shot, not trying to get Beal and Kevin Durant going and then finding his own shot. I think they really don't need a point guard.
And maybe that's something they explore. Like, what do you think of Westbrook joining this team on a vet minimum?
I do not like that at all.
Really?
You need a point guard who is a great facilitator. Not that Westbrook isn't a great facilitator, but I don't like that. I think Westbrook, go back to the Clippers. I think that's a coming off the bench. Give me 15 solid minutes. I just don't. They need a point guard who's a true facilitator first and someone who can hit a mid-range jump shot.
Do you think that, you know, shifting off of this, talking a little bit more CP3 specifically.
Yep.
Do you think with this trade, do you think we are in maybe the last year or two of Chris Paul in the NBA?
Yes, I think. And it depends. I know that I think the Wizards have until the 26th, today's the 20th. I think they have the 26th to come up with, are they going to buy him out or are they going to keep him? So they have about a week. Let me tell you something. If they decide that if the Washington Wizards decide that Chris Paul is going to be their point guard next season will be the last season we see Chris Paul play basketball. I don't. Who's signing up for that?
It's tough, man. And I think if you're Chris, like, yo, that's a lot of move. You're moving your fam from Phoenix to D.C. God damn. And now you got to potentially think about, is that even the right fit at this stage in Chris's career? And if it's not, what other team really makes sense that has a lot of interest in him? I know they say both the L.A. teams do. I don't – personally, I want to give Austin Reeves more chance with the Keys. So I look at that and already say the Clippers may be better off, but then there's a health problem if he goes to the Clippers between him, PG, and Kawhi. Dog, you may get 40 games total between those three.
Can I throw out two teams? I would say Miami. I would get rid of Kyle Lowry. I'll put Chris Paul in. Or the New York Knickerbockers.
It's, why would they do that when they got Jalen Brunson?
I mean, yeah, that's true.
And for your other team, Miami, why would they do that? They, according to Cox sources, which leads us to our next point, good transition. According to Cox sources,
Pauls.
It is being reported that with the trade by Phoenix, the Miami Heat are now focused on trading for Dame Lillard. So when you think about the trade by Phoenix,
yep,
with Chris Paul and Bradley Beal, do you think the deal between the Heat and the Blazers get done for Dame Lillard?
So if it does not, that's what CP3 comes in. I think it can. This Dame thing needs to come to an end, because I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of tired of it. Like, every offseason, he loyal to the soil, but behind the scenes, he's saying he's not saying he wants to be traded, but he's saying he wants to be traded, right? Like, today it came out that Chris Haynes is like, yeah, he doesn't want to be here for a youth movement. He wants him to trade number three for, you know, Zion or whatever. Like,
or trade him. Sorry to cut you off. That is what I picked up from all this. Okay, I've been hearing for years now, Dame Lillard, Rui Loyola to Portland. I believe that, but to an extent. Y'all think Damian Lillard is looking at an organization in their eyes that's offering him $200 million and telling them no?
Exactly.
No, he's not.
He is not.
He's signing that dotted line, getting his check, banking, hoping that they do something. And if they don't, guess what? He's still got his contract, and he can still get him to trade him.
Bradley Beal did it right. Listen, man, always take the money. You can ask for a trade later. Get the money.
Get the money.
Always get the money.
Once you sign that line, that money is yours. They got to pay you.
They got to pay you. Someone got to pay you. Somebody in the National Basketball Association got
to
pay you.
Always take
the money. I'm just tired of hearing, I want to stay in Portland. Well, actually, I don't. Like, just say it, dog. Like, say you want out of Portland, and let's get this train going.
I personally think Damian Lillard does not want to come out publicly and say, I don't want to play.
And you can't. He can't, after all these years of, you know, I'm loyal, I'm here for the grind, I'm here for, like, you can't go. Like, he's been playing this character so long, he can't go back.
And now it's at a point where, like, the organization has, he's basically telling the organization, y'all got two options with me. If you want me to stay, I've been here, but you got to bring in one of them players. And obviously, he's letting it be known, hey, Zion's out there, and we ain't got the same problems as, like, a New York or a Miami. Our women not going to run him dry.
Oh, they might.
Yeah, my brother, let me tell you where I live. No, they won't. Zion, I'm going to tell you right now.
He'll find something.
Zion, I'm going to tell you right now, if you was to get traded to the Portland Trailblazers and one of the Portland women really run you for your dollars, I'm going to let you know right now, your roster would be mid wouldn't even be the word. It would be.
Let me ask you a question while you think of it, of a word.
Go ahead.
Would his roster be any worse than what it is now?
Yes. At least in New Orleans, they got some gumbo. They got some. Got this little bit of that southern twang to it. So, you know, they got
anyone on Zion's roster got any of that? Because I don't see it.
Got a little twang to him. I'll put it like this.
Twang or tang? Because those are two totally different things.
As Zion came to the Portland Trail Blazers, there would not be a lot of color in his roster.
He went to Duke, so.
Have you seen Mariah Mills and the girl Rose?
I told you last week, he's trying to beat these milk allegations. But if he go to Portland,
he's right back on the milk allegations.
I mean, but here's the thing though. In Portland, that's what we expect. In New Orleans, there's too much of a mixture. You have to fight the milk allegations. But if you're in Portland, like, it's Portland.
And Zion, if you out here trying to get traded to New York, LA, Miami, I'm here to let you know right now, the New York teams, the LA teams, Miami, the rest of the Texas teams, they're telling the New Orleans Pelicans, fuck no. They're telling the New Orleans Pelicans, especially the Knicks and the Nets, if that brother can't control himself in New Orleans, he cannot survive in LA. He cannot survive in New York. The New York women would run him dry.
Yes. Yes, yes, he would be in brothels. Like, we'll find that man in a whorehouse.
We interrupt this news program on SportsCenter to let you know that NBA player Zion Williamson was spotted at a brothel this morning. Now, we're not sure if this violates any NBA rules, but should he be at a brothel at 4 a.m. on a Tuesday?
They play the Heat tonight. They play the Heat tonight.
The brothel in practice clothes. Like, hey, yo, dog, you are nasty.
Let me ask you a question. You think Zion walk around with stains on his shirt? Because I feel like he walk around with stains on his shirt.
You stains that he give, man. Let me tell you something. Zion look like he probably. you think Zion? Why? Never mind. Listen. Yes. He does. Yes, he does. What's up, Kyle? What's up, Achille?
All right, so
speaking of Zion,
yeah, I was about to say we're talking about Zion.
Apparently, the Pelicans are interested in trading him because they have significant interest in Scoot Henderson. So, do you actually think they end up making the trade with someone to end up trying to get closer to landing Scoot?
No, I don't. I think Dame's going to Miami. I don't know what Portland can give outside of three to get Zion. I'll say I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat. I tweeted this yesterday. I think this is a work to get Zion out of New Orleans.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he and Mariah are in cahoots. Granted, her account was just suspended. Adam Silver made the call, but she's been slandering that man every day for the past week, and his team has done nothing. Like, he had me fooled with the first couple of tweets, and then he had the community event. His dad spoke on his behalf, like, oh, I'm standing by my son. I was like, oh, that's great. That's a great deflection. But now,
believe half of what you see. I mean, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. I hate when people hear. Well, tell me what to believe then.
Tell me what to believe.
Tell me what to believe. Hey, when y'all do that? Well, so it's not true. Okay, what is true? Your narrative.
It's your narrative.
It's your narrative. Yo, and Adam Silver, thank you, because that girl could not keep tweeting. Mariah, let it go.
Once she said there was a sex tape, Adam said, all right, that is enough of this. We are good.
Now, I will say, listen, when you lose that $107,000 a month, I'm tweeting some things too.
All she had to do was be quiet, though. Like, this is self-inflicted. All she had to do was keep quiet.
She said she felt away. She didn't like that he went out and, listen, she was trying, she thought she had a little baby coming up. Not like actual baby, like a little sugar baby. And she said, this joker then went and impregnated someone else and don't look half as good as me. I'm sitting there looking at this like, Zion, what are we doing here? First off, you eating a hot dog without the bun with these two?
Jesus. Mariah, girl, you 32. He 23.
Hey, we're not going to listen. That's a conversation. That's a bigger conversation that they don't want us to have. So let's get on to Ja Morant.
Yes.
Tell me about Ja Morant.
So Ja got suspended. He got 25 games. Your thoughts on the suspension? Are you surprised there's another piece of the puzzle that has come out? Ja apparently had a video proving that the gun that he had was a lighter. The NBA said, oh, okay, let us have it. And then all of a sudden, Ja couldn't find it. Like, that's the long and short of the story.
Ja Morant. Listen, what are the odds? Yo, where's my phone? I want to look up.
Look it up. Do
look
it.
Look it up. Like, gun lighters. Amazon. Oh shit.
Let me tell you something, Ja.
Okay. So he's not lying. They
exist. I've seen them. They exist. Yes, they exist.
Yeah. Okay. Did you think that was a lighter?
If it was a lighter, he might be a lost cause. Like, you walking around with a toy gun that look like a real gun in the city where there are dudes who carry real guns and do real things with those guns, man, you lost, dog. Trade that boy to Utah today.
First off, I'm going to say this about the suspension. When I saw 25 games, I said, damn, Adam Silver, 25? Really? That's it? I said, my man got off light, easy work. Do that in his sleep, standing up, on his head. And then I thought about it. I heard Woj talk about, why do we land at 25? Well, think back to Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges had the 30,
yep.
But a lot of people forgot that he also didn't play most of that, either didn't play most of the season before, or not, that's what it was. He didn't play most of the season before, and then when he came back, he had to serve this 30 games. So it was way longer than the actual 30 games, but yeah. I think for how long that he was out when he, because he essentially missed all of last season, I believe.
Yeah.
And this season he came back and he suspended for the first 30. That's, bro, that's like over 100 games, if you think about it, or close to it. Yeah, there are, I mean, the totality of that equals the crime. But when you look at it, they formally only suspended him 30, and they couldn't give Ja more than that because his was not one against the law and two wasn't a heinous violent act. Right. Okay. So now we have to punish you, but we can't punish you more than the 30. So with the new CBA, we got to look at it. We got to punish you in a way that we can't let you come back and be a messiah. We cannot have you come back to your team and they be middle of the pack. You come back, make a run. Now you have a chance to win MVP, yada, yada, yada. Because obviously I think we're fans of the game enough to know that if you start coming back and you start winning, that dissolves all problems.
Well, he can't win any awards. Remember and next
that's,
year.
And that's the point I'm getting to.
Okay.
With the 25 games. Now you're not eligible for MVP. You're not eligible for any of the All-NBAs. You're not eligible for any awards. So now when you come back, no matter what the team's record is, you're going to help come fix it. And even if you do come back and have the season of your life, we're not rewarding you for it.
Nope.
That's your job. That's essentially what they're saying. That's your job. You're a basketball player. You hooping. That's your job. So when I thought about it like that, I'm like, damn, that's a punishment.
It is.
Then you start thinking about his punishment compared to some of the other long-term punishments we've seen Adam Silver, David Stern hand out for, you know, we got Malice in the Palace, we got the Gilbert Arenas things. Like, yeah, it wasn't one of those lengthy suspensions. That's still a lot of games for something. He didn't break any, he technically didn't break any laws. He's just breaking code of conduct. That's a code of conduct.
Yep.
25 games. So you look at it like that, no, this is a serious suspension. And the long-term repercussions of money that he's going to lose down the road, that's big.
It's big.
So, Ja, while I think a lot of us thought you would get longer, this punishment fits. Take this punishment on the chin, handle your business, do what you got to do. Let me ask you something. Do you think Ja Morant's name come across Adam Silver's desk next season? For anything negative?
Oh, that's a good question. I shouldn't give him the benefit of the doubt, but I don't want to speak ill of his name. I'm going to say no, but I would not be shocked if it did.
That's crazy. I feel the opposite of the back half of your point. I think this guy is going to be superstar Sammy next year. I don't think we will hear much from Ja Morant. If I'm Ja Morant, I'm deleting Instagram off my phone. One, I'm making a Finsta. Two, I'm letting my business associates handle my Instagram, and they're only posting, like, I don't know, sponsored posts about his endorsements, mm-hmm. Nike stuff, you know, new stuff like that. Outside of that, if I'm Ja Morant, I'm making a Finsta, and I am posting everything that I want there. Outside of that, bro. I don't think when I say Ja Morant should be radio silent. Hey, Ja, they just found Kendrick Lamar's Finsta last week. They just found it. So you can get a Finsta, keep it low key and keep it mad under wraps. So Ja Morant, handle your business. Take this on the chin. We'll see you back next season. Ball out, brother. And move life forward. Yo, you remember when the Sixers were getting ready to trade AI when he was going through his little stint?
Yes, I was. The whole him and Larry Brown were not getting along after that 2000 finals.
And you remember, like, when they were getting ready to trade him, he came back and locked in, focused. I think John Morant's going to have I think John Morant's going to do something similar.
I hope he does. I'm rooting for him.
I'm rooting for him too.
And I hope he is okay.
And I think if you are a black man, like, I want to say this the right way. I think we as men, we have to hold other men accountable, right? Yes. We got to hold other men accountable. You did the time due to crime, but that don't mean a redemption story isn't possible. I think Ja Morant, if you were able to take this suspension on the chin and then turn around and really show what you've learned and start really building on it as both a man, as a pro, and as an athlete, I think that is going to be extremely commendable, and I think it's going to say a lot more about his character than most people want to give him credit for. I know the easy thing for a lot of people to do right now is to kick my man while he's down. He's a young guy. Yes, he's thrust into a situation with millions of dollars. So yes, there's an emphasis and a priority on him to be an upstanding citizen, but the guy's 22, 23. He still has a few room. He got to give him a little bit of grace to make some mistakes. But at this point, Ja, it's time for you to start showing, I've learned from some of these mistakes. I need to get on the upward trend. That don't mean you got to be perfect forever. No one's asking you to be perfect forever, but right now you got to start bunkering down and realize you are a pro. You are a role model, and hopefully we look back at it, at this situation, at this point in time in his life, and just be like, this is the time in his life that really helped change the whole course of him as a man and him as a professional. So I'm rooting for you, Ja. I think you got a bright future ahead. And with the international movement that's going on in the NBA, we as Americans, we as Black men should really be championing Ja Morant. He's one of the few American superstars, that up and coming superstars that we have in this league. We really got to champion him. So hopefully he gets his stuff together. And to all y'all out there that keep making fun of him because he quote unquote wanna be a thug. Yo, you was a kid listening to hip hop back in the day. Everyone had that I wanna be tough, I'm in the street phase when you're listening to hip hop. It's the music. But at a certain point you realize the music is music. This isn't real. And then you start meeting your favorite rappers and you realize these are all personas. These guys, they don't really live this life, especially when they're making amazing.
Ja, stop listening to NBA YoungBoy.
They'll bump that NBA YoungBoy because AI YoungBoy 2, fire. Lonely Child, fire. Cardison, fire.
You mentioned just now about the NBA, the basketball's international Thursday's draft. Mm-hmm. Victor Wembanyama's Wemby is expected to go number one overall to the Spurs. Another tinfoil hat moment. You think there's a conspiracy that the Spurs may pivot and pick either Scoot or Brandon Miller at one, or do you think it's Wemby? What are we talking about here?
If it was any other team than the Spurs, I would say that if that general manager didn't draft Victor Wembanyama, somebody would be getting fired. Because it's the San Antonio Spurs and Greg Popovich runs it. I think Pop has seriously, seriously, seriously evaluated Vic. I think Pop has seriously evaluated Vic, Wembanyama, and Brandon Miller and thought, which one of these guys realistically do I think, based on the team that we have, that we can really build the team around? I do think they're still going to go Victor Wembanyama, but I'm going to tell a lot of people. Scoot Henderson, for those who don't know, has been working a lot with Steph Curry. Steph Curry said he wants to take Scoot Henderson under his wing. Think about this. It's the greatest shooter ever, a class act in the NBA, a class professional. He's taken Scoot purposefully under his wing. He's going to be something in this league, I believe. I believe Scoot's going to be something special in this league. Brandon Miller, I think he, similarly to Vic, is the future of what wings are going to be in this league. Real big guys that have real tall, lanky guys that have a lot of guard aspects. Kevin Durant was a unicorn ahead of his time. And we're seeing now that there are more and more Kevin Durants that are coming into the league. Kevin Durant-like players, because there's only one KD. Kevin Durant-like players coming to the league. So I think the Spurs still go with Vic. But I think Scoot and B. Miller have a strong case for going number one. And for for Scoot and B. Miller, I think both of them make a very strong case for number two overall. And I still think Brandon Miller goes two overall.
Okay, so you think Scoot is going to be in Portland?
Speaking of Scoot, he has crushed his pre-draft workouts too. Like, I've heard incredible things about his pre-draft workouts. So he's going to be nice. I'm really excited to see him play. Really excited to see him play. And I think the NBA, based on how they're trying to get more out of the G League, Scoot would be big.
Yes.
Scoot going top two or three would be big because it's big for the G League, which then gives, if you can get a G League player drafted in the top two or three consistently, like, the, you know, I think Jalen Green also played in the G League as well. When you think about it like that, that's telling these young hoopers, yo, if you're good enough, go to the G League, make some money there. If you're supposed to be in the NBA, you should be.
And you will be drafted high.
And you will be drafted high, which means the money's going to be there. Which, if you get drafted high, you can go back to college anytime you want. You'll have the money. You will have the money. What else we got?
So Draymond Green declines his player option. Now he's a free agent. Should the Warriors prioritize bringing him back?
Look, if I'm the Warriors, I'm sending Klay Thompson to Nihao, China, and I am re-signing Draymond Green.
Oh, wow. I did not expect that.
I'm not going to let – listen, I think the Warriors' new GM are looking at this team, and they're saying we have to maximize the next 3 to 4 years of Steph Curry's career. Which of the people from the core of Draymond and Klay help Steph Curry win and impact the team win? I personally think it's Draymond. He sets the anchor on defense. They run a lot of sets through him. They run a lot of offense through him. I think with Klay, he's getting up there in age. You really got to hope that the shot is still going down. And I think the versatility, Draymond's versatility gives him the edge over Klay's shooting ability.
Okay.
And I think similar to Achilles' point, he could decline it to come back on a team-friendly deal, but I also think Draymond could say, "Yo, I'm at a point now where I'd like to make a little bit of money. Like, come on, y'all need me." I think they prioritize re-signing him, and I think they find a way to get more youthful. Yo, if you can build around Steph, Andrew Wiggins, and Draymond Green, you bring in another guy who can get their own shot, like another just score. Doesn't have to be a get their own shot guy. Another score. The Warriors are right back at it. They'll have Kevon Looney again, obviously a guy who can do a lot of dirty work. You got to get another score. I think Klay's he's getting up there in age, and I think you can still try to maximize what you can get for him.
I remember reading that Draymond wants a deal similar to Steph's in regards to years. I think he's looking more so for years. He might get $100 million. If I'm the Warriors, I do not focus on if you sign Draymond, you got to trade Jordan. There's no way you can have them two on the roster again. Draymond admitted at the end of the year that punch kind of set the course. I think Kerr did too. It kind of set the course for the season that they really never recovered from the punch. I don't think if you're the Warriors, you can't go into next year with both of those guys on the roster. One of them has to go.
Jordan Poole, yes, got punched in the face. Man, get the fuck over it, dog. People get punched in the face every day, dog. Y'all had a disagreement. He punched you in the face. You said some. You was talking that big shit. Draymond came over here.
That was a cheap shot. That wasn't like no AO put. That was like,
hey, what they say in the boxing ring? Protect yourself at all times.
They were.
You see a man coming up to you in an aggressive manner, and your hands down. Hey, hands down, man down.
Jesus, Mark Jackson. Nah, man, you don't punch. They're not in the boxing ring. You don't. Yeah, I'm with you, Achilles. You don't do that, man. He ain't square up or nothing. He just ran up on Jordan and stole on him.
Guys, I'm not saying the punch was right. He shouldn't have got punched. But you got punched, dog. Get the fuck over it. Like, yeah, it's embarrassing. People are going to be making jokes. Brother, LeBron James, after losing the finals to the fucking Dallas Mavericks, after being heavily favored, just went to the table and basically called everyone who was going to eventually criticize him brokies. And told
that's different, though, man.
Go back to your regular fucking job, you fucking brokie.
Nah,
go up there,
man,
and say the same thing. Yes, I got punched by my teammate, but was it? Yes, I got punched by my teammate. It was fucked up. Yes, we'll work through that because we're professionals. But all y'all out here talking, y'all can't dribble a ball. Most of y'all don't even know the sport that you're talking about. Shut up.
You and I know good and damn well if someone cheap shot at you at work, and your boss came to you and was like, AOD, you still have to work with that person. We know what you would do.
Yeah, there's going to be some tension. I'm not disagreeing. There's going to be some tension. But eventually, dog, y'all got to get the fuck over it. Y'all are professionals at this point.
Nah, man.
Because at the end of the day, I still believe that this argument was rooted in basketball and rooted in the team wanting to win. I think when you come back to that core principle that, hey, this was a heated argument that should have never gotten physical. Hey, we can agree to that, right? This is a heated argument that should have never gotten physical. What was the heated argument about? It was rooted in basketball. Why?
It was rooted in money. Yes.
He wanted to get paid and win. Draymond wants to keep winning rings and win. Money will come.
No, this was rooted in jealousy. But the argument was rooted in basketball. Nah, it was rooted in hate and jealousy. Draymond wanted the contract Jordan Poole got and stole on him because he didn't get it.
I don't even know about it. I think it was more of a Draymond didn't like how Jordan Poole was probably feeling himself because the money he was going to get. And it's that like, money okay. That
Draymond thought was his.
I don't even, could be, yeah. So maybe you looking at man's over there like, yo, dog, I've been here X amount of years. I've been on X amount of championship teams. You came in, yeah, you got hot last year. You really helped us do some good things. But yo, dog. Let's remember the focus here is winning championships. It's not the money gonna be there. I would bet a lot of money that sentence that I just said was definitely rooted in that argument. The money's gonna be there, but we are still here to win a championship. Yo, I think, and we can move off this after this. Mm-hmm. I think there are maybe three different mindsets. There's three different team mindsets in the NBA. Contenders who are like, yo, we want to win. Teams like Denver, teams like Phoenix, teams like the Warriors, teams like the Lakers, teams like the Bucks, the Heat, the Sixers. Everybody on that team, they're just focusing on how do we put ourselves in the best position to win a championship. That's mindset number one. Mindset number two are teams like the Pelicans. No. Bring it back. Teams like the Thunder. No, bring it back. Teams like the Grizzlies. Teams like the Cavs. Teams like the Knicks that feel like they're on the precipice. So the mindset that a lot of the guys on that team is, we are this close to reaching that next ceiling. Guys, let's just keep building so we can reach that next ceiling. I think that's the second mindset. That's where Denver was before they won the championship. Like, guys, we are this close to taking the next step. We just got to lock in and keep building it. Money is probably in there because, you know, you guys probably still want to get paid. But I think when you're on those, like, you just want to get better. And then you have the third mindset. This is 85% of the NBA I'm getting ready to talk about. Five dudes who winning would be nice, but dog, I want this check. I'm a millionaire. I want this check. And I got a couple baddies at the hotel, right?
Not a couple.
Draymond, I believe, is in the Draymond probably since 2015 has been the championship mindset. We got to keep winning these. We got to maximize how many championships we can win. The money will be there. Jordan Poole, before he got paid, was over here. Yo, I'm trying to get paid. I got some baddies. I'm trying to do X, Y, and Z. I can get on my sugar daddy. I can buy the Rolls Royce, stars in the roof. I got the umbrella and the pullout. I got Gucci fit. I bet you the team, a lot of folks, like the other players on that roster, was kind of feeling that mindset from them. And they're probably starting to be like, yo, bro, like, yeah, bro, you're going to get paid, but damn, like, we're trying to win. Like, we're trying to win championships. And you over here talking about money to do this, money to do that. And Draymond probably was like, yo, I'm getting kind of fed up. But every time I try to talk to you about basketball, you find a way to bring this back to money. Where is your passion in winning? And that's a bigger conversation that we can have at another time. We don't have it now. A lot of you NBA players don't like basketball, but you like that check that you get, which is cool. I think a lot more of y'all just need to be honest about it. Paul George tried to tell us a lot more of y'all need to be honest on it. Let's finish this up with Karl Anthony Towns, my brother. Talk to me about Karl Anthony Towns.
So on the Pat Bev podcast, which is insane because it feels like every NBA player has a podcast. Pat Bev, I mean, Kat said that he has changed the game. D, you can get your jokes off first.
Listen. Karl Anthony Towns, your name is not Karl Anthony Towns. Your name is Sir Cap-a-Lot. Sir Cap-a-Lot. Are you serious? Changed what game? 2K? 2K? This is the same Karl Anthony Towns that was getting cooked in the State Farm commercial by a video game player? Are you serious? What game? What? This, like, yo, you remember years ago when Le'Veon Bell said he was a Steph Curry at the NFL and everyone looked at him and said, excuse me? No, because the way I'm patient before I hit the hole, I'm revolutionizing the RB position. And everyone was like, you sure about that, Le'Veon? Yeah, I'm good. And he was like, all right, guess what?
He's seen him since.
Le'Veon was out of the league 2.5 years later. Karl Anthony Towns, If you have changed the game, then so have I. Because I have also went inside of 2K and turned them the sliders all the way up, and now I can't miss. So Yusuf 1205, what we're talking about now is on the Pat Bev podcast, Carl Anthony Towns said that he changed the game of basketball. No, he didn't. Absolutely not. Danny, you tell me one thing about the NBA that has changed since Carl Anthony Towns has came in.
The Timberwolves have become a laughingstock outside of Anthony Edwards.
And they've made the playoffs a few times. A couple times, actually.
They made the playoffs.
Quite literally, a couple times.
And that's because of Ant-Man. Carl Anthony Towns was hurt a lot last year. I think he did the three-point contest. He lost, didn't he? Because that's when he compared himself to Dirk. I just pray to God that one day that I never get to that level of just no self-awareness.
Listen, who are funnier liars, NBA players or rappers?
Oh, rappers.
Rappers?
Yeah, like Kevin Gates, The Game. We are talking about just lies.
Kevin Gates said he started a car battery with his bare hands.
He said, hold on, little mama. Let me show you something real quick. But you can't tell nobody. Is he Jesus? Rappers, listen, biggest listen, liars ever.
Do you know who the rapper Westside Gunn is?
Mm-hmm.
So Westside Gunn has this song called Michael Irvin. It's off this album called Fly God is an Awesome God. And so he starts this song off by saying, everybody think they fly now, but who really fly you? You ever cooked half a brick in an air fryer? I press pause so fast. I said, wait a minute, dog. No. I ran it back. He said, yo, you ever cooked half a brick in an air fryer? I said, excuse me? You haven't done that. How? Tell me how. I've used the air fryer, dog. No, you haven't. I've cooked shrimp in there. I've cooked chicken in there. I've made a steak in there.
But crack?
Okay. All right, crack. He also said in another song, oh man, was it one more? It's a song called One More Hit. It's him and Stove God, another hilarious rapper. Okay. Westside Gunn on this song said, he said he'd take the pack and he run the option like he's Tim Tebow. I said, wait a minute, whoa, hold on. That's a fire bar, but what?
Dog, rappers just.
Rappers, funniest liars on earth, easily. And Gunna, listen, I heard some of them bars you was getting off on that album. I'm going back to this Gunna album. I heard some of them bars you was getting off. You better be careful, Gunna. You was talking some shit.
Nah, Gunna, talk. You protected? Talk.
Is he protected? He said he ain't give up no information.
It doesn't matter. I don't care because I would have. Let me tell you something.
Listen.
All these people saying free, I'm not going to say his name because he got real killers. If he did that shit, I don't want him out on the street. Keep him in jail.
Listen, all I'm going to say is this. Young Thug, if you are finding a way to record music in jail, drop that shit.
See, Terrence Howard and Empire? Hold on now. Hold on. Yo, remember, I don't know if you remember this. Remember when Shine dropped an album from jail? Yo, that album was fire.
Name. Oh my God. We're talking about rappers lying to Keely. I forgot this one. Rick Ross said she got her legs wrapped around my waist. I was like, wait a minute, Ross. What?
Yo, Rick Ross low-key is a great liar. He is another. Have you ever made money, love in a room full of money, and she screams?
I was like, wait a minute. What? Nah, Wayne, you up there too?
Wayne.
You up there? You up there too? Get it? Leave him dead in the living room.
What? Soulja Boy? A-plus liar. Bow, bow.
Listen. Hove, speaking of which, tell me about them 92 bricks. How'd you lose them?
Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all right. Speaking of bricks, the Kansas City Chiefs got a brick on their fingers. Tell me about it, my brother.
So the Kansas City Chiefs, they had the ring ceremony last week. And during it, they talked about the motivation to repeat next year's champions. So the question is, what do you think about their chances of repeating? Like outside the, you know, all things considered, everyone healthy, is there a team in the AFC that can really challenge them? And if they run through the AFC, is there a team in the NFC that can give the Chiefs a run for their money?
I can't believe I'm back on this bandwagon, but I'm back on this bandwagon because y'all signed y'all's quarterback. The Baltimore Ravens healthy, I think, could be a problem.
Okay.
I think the Baltimore Ravens healthy in a new offense, Lamar Jackson. I'm going to call it right now. I think this can be an MVP type year for Lamar.
Talk to me.
I think the new money, the new offense, you got new weapons, guys who need to prove themselves. You got young players. You have, I think if they're able to get more balanced with their run and their pass game to go along with a defense that historically is known in being a top 16 defense. It's rare that it's not often that the Ravens have a bottom half defense. So you can always assume they're defensively are going to be there. If they become more mixed on offense, bro, this is a hard team to beat. Because think about it. The Ravens, since Lamar Jackson's been there, I mean, they've been probably a consistent 10-win team.
Yep.
So they're winning they're winning double-digit games every year just off of having a very strong run game. So if they mix a true passing game in this, man, they're tough. Obviously, to Kyle's point, you got to consider the Bengals. They match up well with the Chiefs. They play them well. I think the Bengals know that all things considered, if they play to their strengths, they can give the Chiefs a run. I'm not buying no Bills stock. The Bills got to just show me, dog. Everyone keeps saying and bigging up the Bills, but every past two seasons, maybe three, the Bills have pissed themselves in the leg. Or pissed, you know, they just pissed on themselves in that opportunity. And then you find yourself after that game just kind of realizing, why was I even thinking Buffalo was in the same stratosphere as Kansas City? Because they're not. A lot of people keep going back to that one AFC divisional game. I think a lot of people just got too infatuated with that game because it was high scoring. You know, us football fans, we see a lot of points go up. People start. Listen, sometimes defenses just don't show up, and it's all offense. Now you got to go out there and score. That's what happened. The better team, the better offense won. Guess what? A week later, when they had to play a low-scoring game, that same team won. Same team won. No, actually, the Bengals won. The Bengals won. Okay. But a year later, played that same Bengals team, same type of game. The Chiefs won. So it's the Bengals. I mean, it's the Bengals. And it's the Ravens.
That's it.
Funny enough, they come from the same division. So I'm going to go out and let me say this. The winner of the AFC West will meet the winner of the AFC North in the AFC Championship game. And NFC, man, the NFC, obviously the Eagles. I think the Eagles are probably a really heavy favorite to come out of the NFC. Man. I don't believe the 49ers are legit. I don't think so either.
I'm glad we're here.
I think reality is going to come crashing in on Brock Purdy. We're going to find out why he's a 6th, 7th round pick, respectfully speaking. Even if he does turn out to be a true 6th, 7th round pick, the fact that he was able to do what he did last year, he's already outperformed his draft stock.
Yeah, until he ran into a real one.
I would say outside of the Eagles, I think we shouldn't sleep on the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a good team.
Yep.
They're just in a division with another really good team, similarly to the Bengals and the Ravens. You're just in a division with another really, really good team. Outside of that, dog, I'm just looking at the NFC. I'm going to be honest. Y'all sweet.
Yes.
Including my team. We sweet. The rest of y'all got to show me in the NFC. The rest of y'all got to show me. Because y'all, we sweet. Period. We sweet.
I agree with everything you said. I will say this. We will not fall for it when the Chargers beat the Chiefs week 6. We're not falling for it this year.
Oh, fun. You're bold of you to think the Chargers are stealing one. Actually, yes, they will.
They will. They will.
Because they play each other so much and they know each other well. They'll steal a game.
The Chargers are going to win, or it's going to be real close, right? It's going to be Chiefs win, buzzer beater kick, But the Chargers played him well, and Patrick Mahomes did.
They'll do some
cool
shit like steal the road game versus Kansas City, like steal the road game deep in Kansas City on like a Thursday night.
Yep,
just steal that game.
We're not falling for it.
And just and then they'll go on to lose three of their next four games, and two of them will be against the Texans,
the
Texans and the Raiders. And now you're just like, bro, y'all are unserious because that's the Chargers franchise.
That's the Chargers.
Big deal or no deal, Tom? Let's run
one second. Cal has a quick question about a trade that happened in our league a couple weeks ago.
Well, this can be the first big deal or no deal.
Perfect. So let's go back to this trade. I'm in sleeper now. Yes, a trade is. So Cal, let me see. Let me pull this up.
So I got it. So Kyle traded. So Rojo traded. Rojo Truther traded Rashad Bateman and a 2024 third for Tyler Boyd and a 2024 second.
I think Kyle won that trade. Yeah, I like Tyler Boyd more than I like Rashad Bateman.
I think Rojo got the better receiver. Kyle got the better draft pick. So I think in a way it evens out. I think Rojo must have a little bit more faith in Rashad Bateman than I do, because I was also kind of in some chats with Kyle and potentially trading for Rashad Bateman. Ultimately, me and my GM, who was also me, decided not to move forward with it because I don't believe the organization really believes in Rashad Bateman. And I think what's the kid's name? Zay Flowers is ultimately going to end up taking his spot. I will say this, Kyle and Rojo, I think this trade is a big deal, because I think Kyle, what you're probably going to be able to shift that 2024 second for next draft season will probably do your team wonders.
Yes.
Who knows? I think the ceiling might be higher for Rojo if Rashad Bateman turns out to be the receiver he was drafted to be. The ceiling might be higher. But we'll see.
All right, so let's jump into big deal, no deal.
Well, let's start off with some rest in peace.
Yes.
So over the weekend, the unfortunate passing of Ray Lewis Jr. I think I read that it was via an overdose.
Yes.
So just thoughts, prayers, condolences to his loved ones and his family. It's tough, man. We're losing. He was young, 28, 29. It's tough, man. Guys, let's leave the drugs alone, man. Lead them hard. Leave them drugs alone. I'm not going to tell everyone to live a perfect life, but leave them drugs alone.
Because
you just don't know what they're putting in it. So rest in peace to Ray Lewis Jr. Thoughts, condolences, prayers to his family and his loved ones.
Obviously damn. A big deal.
Obviously a big deal. Some more big deals. Go ahead, my brother.
All right. So the Las Vegas Knights won their first Stanley Cup the other night.
First or second? I think it might be their second, because I believe when they became an expansion team, they may have won like their first year.
Kyle, research. I remember seeing a tweet like, oh, what's Vegas going to look like once they win their first major championship? And everyone,
I think that was a troll, because that guy didn't know that the Aces had already won.
Yeah. And I remember people were like, hey, yeah, thank you, Kyle. It's the first.
Okay, so it is their first. Okay.
Okay. Because everyone posted the Aces. So big deal.
That's what it was. They went to
the finals. Okay. Thank you, Kyle. So big deal, no big deal.
I think it's a really big deal. Shout out to Vegas, man. They played a really good series. I mean, hey, Florida, y'all been having a great sports calendar year. Your teams just continue to disappoint, and that's okay, because sometimes it'd be like that. It just be like that. But shout out to the Vegas Knights, man. It's always dope. And also, shout out to the U.S. men's national team on winning the CONCACAF.
I'm glad you out know how to pronounce that. I just know they were fighting in Mexico.
Yeah, CONCACAF, really big. I think, men's U.S. soccer is getting big. We're getting bigger. We're getting more success, getting better teams. So hopefully the men's team slowly catches up to the women's team, and American global football gets bigger, especially with Messi coming to Inter Miami in a month. So exciting.
Oh, speaking of which, there's a – I ended up watching the Women's Professional U.S. League, and there's a team called the Portland Thorns.
Yeah, Portland Thorns. They won the National Women's Soccer League Championship last year.
They have the hardest jerseys on earth. I am going to buy one. Like, have you
seen? I went to one of the Thorns games not too long ago. It was really fun.
Their alternate, I'll send you a link. That is the hard, like, it's one of the hardest jerseys I've ever seen. I'm buying it once Nike makes it available. Like,
yeah. I've been to a few of their games here at Providence Park here in Portland. They're both the Timbers and the Thorns. Really good games. Really. Portland's a fun sports city. Like, I've been to Blazers games. Those are incredibly fun, like really, really fun. I've been to Timbers and Thorns games. They're really, really fun. So I will say Portland underrated as a sports city. And I think it's cool living in some of these smaller markets where you know they like really, 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 really love their teams.
Yeah.
And everyone's like really passionate about it. It's really fun.
So let's jump to WWE, the Bloodline. So Monday night, not last Friday, Jey Uso made his choice. He chose his brother Jimmy. Yeah, yo, this is, who cares what's happening on Raw? No one, like, SmackDown's the place to be. So they super kick Solo, and then they super kick Roman, who sold that thing perfectly. And yeah,
this is a huge deal. Again, I know we've been saying this for the last couple weeks, and we'll keep saying it. The Bloodline is the best thing going in professional wrestling now.
Yes.
This, people, if you are not a wrestling fan, you may not get it. But I'm going to let y'all know right now, this is what storytelling and pro wrestling is all about. This has been seeded for months and months. You saw the dissension, and now we are here. We got a Civil War, basically, sort of match at Money in the Bank in London. Solo and Roman versus the Usos. I think this is going to be incredible. I cannot wait to bootleg this.
Yeah, there's still so much story to tell. Like, this is not going to end at Money in the Bank. This probably end at WrestleMania next year.
And I still think the Bloodline gets back together.
They will. I am with you. I think they get back together, but as Solo, as the Tribal Chief.
Big deal.
Real big deal. Next one, Bob Huggins arrested DUI over the weekend, and then he resigned as the head coach of the West Virginia basketball team. Legacy as a coach. I know this might put a stain, you know, on his legacy towards the end, but Bob Huggins at West Virginia, big deal or no deal?
Oh, man. Bob Huggins ever win a national championship?
No, he has not won a national championship.
Listen, Bob Huggins, I think your legacy is cemented. I think this is going to be a stain, though, because I think he's had some tough exits in his last few stops.
Yeah. Listen. He went to the Final Four in 92 when he was a coach at Cincinnati. I believe that's the farthest he's ever gotten.
I think his legacy was kind of cemented. I think everyone viewed him as a great coach, but I think it's a bigger deal for the recruits. It's a bigger deal for the recruits because I think I read somewhere that once he kind of let the team know he's going to be coaching them next year, heard some guys maybe started talking about potentially entering the transfer portal, which makes a lot of sense, especially in basketball. When it comes to basketball, I think a lot of these guys know certain coaches they want to play for based off their playing style and system. I think it's a bigger deal for the recruits. Bob Huggins, you made your bed, brother. You got to go lay in it.
Stand corrected. It looks like he made the Final Four in 2009 at West Virginia. And he's been to the Sweet 16 a couple times as well.
Yeah. Bob Huggins, I don't think this is a big deal for your legacy because, again, I think your legacy is cemented. I just think it's a damn shame that a leader of a program at his big age is making this type of mistakes. But similar to what I said to Ja Morant, no, because Ja Morant is a young kid. This is a grown-ass man who knows what he's doing.
Yep. For me, if we're doing tiers, like the top tiers of coaches, the Roy Williams, Coach K, Bill Self, Tom Izzo, Calipari, and then that second tier.
Yeah.
I would put Boeheim in there. I know Boeheim won a national championship, but dog, he had Carmelo Anthony. That was a cheat code. Like Huggins, Boeheim. Like he's not one of the greats.
Mm-hmm. But he's not bad.
But he's not bad. Like any program that doesn't have a great would sign up for Bob Huggins in a heartbeat if he decided to come back to coaching.
Yeah, give him about 2-4 years. He'll be on the Rick Pitino path to redemption again.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's jump to the WNBA. You're going to have to pick a team tonight. But before we get to that, Breanna Stewart, 200 points, 100 rebounds, and 40 assists in the first 10 games. I know what that is, but to you, is that a big deal or is it no big deal?
Listen, I know hoops. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. People, there are NBA players who can't get that in 20 games. There are NBA players who couldn't do that over the course of a season. So this is really, really impressive. Man, some of the stat lines that come out of the WNBA are absolutely are astonishing. Incredible. Shout out to Breanna Stewart. Shout out to a lot of the WNBA. I was looking at the standings not too long ago. Man, they're at the top. There are some hitters. And then as you go down, a lot of mid-tier. And at the bottom, I'm like, oof, sheesh.
Caitlin Clark sweepstakes.
Yeah. Well, it's can our game translate over?
Oh, shooters always translate. Sabrina Ionescu translated.
She's a little bit bigger than Caitlin Clark, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a little bit. I think she's a little bit bigger than Caitlin.
Give me an update on where we at with the WNBA. I saw the Aces lost their first game. They're what, 10-1?
Aces are 9-1. They lost to Connecticut at home, I believe, last Tuesday. Connecticut still second in the league, 9-3. New York is 7-3. Washington is 7-4. And then we kind of get to the mid-tier teams, Atlanta, LA, Dallas, Chicago.
Okay.
So yeah, the top four, pretty much what we expected, not in this order. I think Connecticut has really surprised people. But D, I think we have arrived at a time.
It's time for me to choose.
Is it time for you to choose a team? I'm going to say, you don't have to choose. I don't have a favorite team. I have favorite players, but there's not a team that I'm invested in.
I'm going to be honest with you. The more I thought about it, I feel like my love for the Los Angeles Lakers should just translate to the Sparks.
That's fair. So here's the thing about the Sparks. I think the Sparks are 2 years away, right? So the Sparks, they're 5-6. You have Nick Ogumake. You have Kurt Miller, who came over from Connecticut, where he led them to the finals multiple years. He just couldn't get over the hump. You're in a space where you're trying to change the culture of a team that was once, you know, the team in the WNBA and trying to get them back there. So I don't think that's a bad choice. For me, I really enjoy watching Dallas, and I really enjoy watching Atlanta outside of Vegas. Atlanta is so much fun. If anyone has the opportunity to watch Atlanta play, it's just a really young team. They do a lot of running. They're just really young. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Are the Sparks a young team? Like,
kind of. NECA's a little old. Shanae, like the Ogumake sisters on there, they're a little long in the tooth. You have a few young players. Like, you're kind of in a place of transition right now when it comes to
LA. Oh, so like the Lakers.
Yeah, just like the Lakers.
So if I was a fan of the Sparks, I'd feel a lot of the same emotions that I get when I watch the Lakers.
Correct, because there are nights when the Sparks look unstoppable, and then there are nights, you know, where they're getting blown out by inferior opponents.
Definitely the Lakers.
Definitely
the Lakers. All right, well, I'm claiming it here. June 20th, 2023, Los D-Mix is now officially a Los Angeles Sparks fan. Shout out to the Lakers. Shout out to L.A. Shout out to L.A. Hoops. We here.
All right. That wasn't hard. And if you're someone who enjoys torture and just wants to cheer for a team that's in the gutter.
Minnesota.
Well, think about Minnesota. Diamond Miller's hurt. So Diamond Miller was their top pick. I think she was the number two pick in the draft. She hurt her ankle. She's been out for a minute. Phoenix, Brittany Griner is hurt. Diana Taurasi is hurt. So they're at the bottom.
BG already hurt?
Yeah, BG. I think it's either a back or ankle. So if you want a team that's really bad, that doesn't have any injured players, Seattle, Jrue Lloyd is a flamethrower, but it's just her.
Yeah.
If you like torture. Talk to me about the F1 Canadian Grand Prix.
Oh, brother. We're back at it. Listen, this past weekend in Montreal was the Canadian Grand Prix. It was also the 30th or 50th anniversary of the first ever safety car in Formula One, which was actually a really, really cool nugget that I learned. Also learning a little bit about the driver who drives the safety car. He did a piece with ESPN. I thought it was really, really good. I also found out a lot about how fast Formula One cars are, because the safety car is like a supercharged Mercedes AMG. He was talking about like what it's like being in the safety car in front of all the cars. And he was like, essentially, someone asked him like, yo, like how fast is this car compared to those cars? And he was like, this is a little play car compared to those things. And he was like, I'll be almost pedal to the floor trying to stay in front of these guys. And these guys are just like jogging, but the car version of jogging behind them. And that's how fast they are. And I was like, holy shit. But back to the Canadian Grand Prix. Qualies was a little wet, pause. So the start of the grid, they had Max Verstappen and Red Bull at the top at P1. I mean, they've got a train, bro. That is a fucking locomotive, a jet. So they had the pace all weekend. Max did ultimately win the race. Mm-hmm. The real race was in second to third, and then some of the other spots. So Fernando Alonso, who started P2, Lewis Hamilton started P3. They had a big collision, but they were racing throughout the majority of the Grand Prix. Ultimately, Fernando Alonso did come in second. Lewis ended up coming in third. George Russell, who I believe was he was either P4 or he started lower in the grid. He ended up, he started P4 and was actually doing a really hell of a race for Mercedes. End up hitting the wall, end up having to retire. Overall, I think there were some really good performances outside of just Max. Alex Albon from Williams finished seventh or eighth, which is the equivalent of like the Oklahoma City Thunder making it to the second round of the playoffs.
Okay.
Going out in like six games. Like, oh, I wasn't expecting that from y'all. So Alex Albon finishing seventh was big. They got some good performances from a few of the McLaren drivers. So, it was a really good weekend. They got 2 weeks. I think they're back in Austria again for another Grand Prix. So they're starting their European circuit of the tour. So excited. And then, they go from there to the Asian part of the circuit. So Singapore, maybe Thailand. I know they go to Japan, and then they do the Vegas Grand Prix in November, and then they finish it out in Abu Dhabi. And closer to Christmas. So really excited. I think over the next couple of months, when we get to this European circuit, we'll find a lot out about if anyone can begin to start challenging Red Bull for the Constructors' Championship. Truth be told, I think Formula One is a sport I realized that guys just – because you really can't make too many more improvements to the car. You can keep making updates to it to make it better, but like you can't completely retransform the car. So whatever car you have, that's the car you're stuck with for the season. You're just building on it. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting about how forward thinking a lot of the guys on the team is. For example, I'm gonna put this in a metaphor. Imagine if the Eagles after last year came back and looked at their roster and was thinking this team could potentially win in 2023, 2024, but we really, really, really think 2024, 2025, that's the year we're going to win a Super Bowl. And that's how a lot of Formula One teams think. They really think forward facing just because of the technology. Once you learn more about the car, the updates. So excited to see what the season holds, but I think we're on a fast track to Max Verstappen winning back-to-back driver championships and Red Bull winning a constructor championship. And last thing I'm gonna say is Red Bull is so confident that their head coach has already kind of came out and said, yeah, I think we can win every race this year. Yeah, we see our competitors, they creeping up on us. I think we're gonna win every race this year. And if you've watched the races, those Red Bull cars are trains. So shout out to the Canadian Grand Prix, shout out Formula One, shout out Max Verstappen. Shout out to my guy Lewis. Great, great run. Speak to us, Tom, my brother.
All right, speak to us. So we got another question.
You want to read it or you want me to read it?
You got to go for it.
All right, people. So our speak to us question of the day, or of the week, I should say. What is more important for you when you're considering investing in someone? Someone's potential or someone's already proven results? P.S., this can be applied to sports, relationship, etc. Danny, when you're evaluating, when you're considering putting some investment in someone.
Yes.
Professionally, sports, if you're, you know, maybe a sports GM, or maybe you're thinking about dating a fine young woman. I know your marriage doesn't really apply to you. What's more important, their potential or the proven results?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. They have had, in any arena, they have to show that they have the ability to invest for on their potential, right? Especially, I know we're talking about when you're, when we're dating, you know, a young woman or trying to find a mate, you know, would you want to date someone that you know is a notorious cheater? Probably not. Would you want to date someone that you enjoy spending time with and doesn't make your life a living hell? Then you've went on a few dates and that's what it's like. Yeah, like if you go on a date and, you know, they're screaming at the waiter, like, oh, no, we can't build a franchise around you, sis. Not acting like that.
Nah, so, can't. Yeah. We can maybe have you coming off the bench, but you can't be our, you can't, yeah, you can't be our starting.
Well, we're talking about forever, mate. There ain't no bench. It's one-on-one, baby. Ain't no coming off the bench. But if you're not the
I mean, history has just said that's just not true. History has just said that's just not true. Yeah, listen, back in the 60s and 70s, second families was a thing for a reason. This is not true.
That's why all these boomers want people to come back to the office. That's why they push them so hard.
Listen, so over the weekend, I was listening to the Joe Budden podcast.
And okay.
On there, he had Killer Mike on for his last episode because Killer Mike just dropped a new album called Michael. By the way, incredible album. No ID executively produced the whole thing. Sonically, from just a music standpoint, this is one of the best albums that I've heard this year, just sonically. He is really getting some shit off. I might play a little something later so you can hear what I'm talking about. But sonically, it sounds incredible. Anyway, so when Killer Mike was talking about the process of the album, he said something I thought was so interesting. He said, yo, at a certain point in life, you got to start working with just professionals. You can't bank on potential. You just need professionals because maybe you can get it done, but maybe I don't have the time on you to potentially can or cannot get it done. Work with professionals because they're always going to put you in a position to be successful because this is their passion. This is their craft. So I say that to say I'm of the mindset I need proven results.
Okay.
Potential is cool to a certain point because you see the trajectory. You see where they could go. Mm-hmm. But how many times have you looked at where someone potentially could go and they never made it there? Never even made it close because they didn't have the drive or the determination. Or you can get the guy who's there every day, lunch pail in hand, and you can count. If you can count on one thing, you can account on them being there, being accountable, holding it down. Proven results. Give me proven results. Listen, I don't want to know if that thing snapped back with the grip. I need someone to tell me if that thing snapped back with the grip on it.
Okay.
I need to know that you got that snatcher. Now, this begs a question that I'm curious to know your answer to. Okay. Is it weird when a man asks you, yo, did you sleep with her?
Yes, that's very weird. I would never ask that question. I would never walk up to another man and be like, hey, did you?
But like someone you know, like maybe you and your homie, you see a girl, oh, she's cute. And he'd be like, oh, that's such and such. We used to, back in the day.
If he a real boy, he will tell you unsolicited, right? Like, man, she cute. Oh, that's so-and-so. We used to kick it back in the day. That's all I need to hear. Like, that's it. Like, we
used to kick it. No, that's not what all I need to know. Y'all used to kick it? Tell me more. Like, oh, we used to do
him saying that they used to kick it is him telling you all you need to know.
Yeah, but like, if they're not together no more, he don't feel no way about this girl, and you're potentially interested. What are you gonna ask him? Oh, well, just like tell me more. You want the info? Why? Because you need some proven results that my investment will give me a return.
So there has to be a certain amount of time that has passed. Like we're talking 2.5-3 years minimum. Before we have that conversation. Like if he's like, oh yeah, we kicked it last year. Nah, I'm good. Really good.
Why not last? Maybe he got a new something.
Nope. I'm good.
Let me ask you something then.
Yep.
From your homegirls, maybe your wife and her friends, do you find that ladies usually date potential or proven results?
Ooh. I feel like women were more likely to make an investment on potential. Like, I feel like women may have are better at seeing the good compared to men. I feel like he's almost there. I think women believe that they can get a man there faster than the man can get a woman there. Like, I think a woman can see a man and be like, oh, I see it. He just needs me to pull it out of him. Mm-hmm.
To get from point A to point B.
Yeah, like I can get him there. I think a man is more so like what you said, A-Dog, do you know her? Oh, okay, tell me more.
So there's a certain level of grace that women move with when it comes to men.
To a degree, I would say women are better visionaries when it comes to seeing, a potential partner, especially something long term.
We see a lot of things black and white.
To a degree, yes.
That's why, and maybe that's why so many, especially dudes, I've seen a lot of dudes just say, Ja Morant's fuck up. He's going to be a fuck up. And I'm like, yo, dog. Give him some time,
because Lord knows there.
Last year he was a model citizen, so clearly he knew how to act like a pro, or at least keep his hood ratchetness under wraps.
Because Lord knows my wife saw potential in me that I ain't see, because your boy was,
well, you had hair.
All right.
What? No, that's true. I need to try to play you like that. She saw the potential when you had hair.
Nah, but my hair was receding when we met. Like, my hair was thinning at the top when we met.
Oh, not the thinning at the top. You had the George Costanza?
Yeah, dog. I was heading in the George Costanza, the George Jefferson, and I was not going to live that life. Hell no.
Oh, I don't blame you. All right. My brother, what? A show. Shout out to Keely. Shout out Kyle. Thank you guys so much for pulling up. Shout out to everyone who's listening via the audio adventure. Make sure you guys follow myself at Los Demix. That's at LOSDEEMIX on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch. Make sure you follow the pod. Speak on it _pod on Instagram, YouTube, and officially, we are now on TikTok. So make sure you follow us at speakon_pod on TikTok. We'll be posting content as well there. Guys. Thank you, guys. Danny, let them know where they can find you, my brother.
Find me on the Bird app, DannyOcean41. Like D said, speakon_pod, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Before we go, special shout out again. Happy birthday to Jeff. Happy birthday to one of my closest friends on earth, my best man, TJ. Today is his birthday. Tomorrow is my wife's birthday. Happy birthday
to her.
Shout out
TJ. Shout out your wife,
Lauren. And then after that, the 22nd, which is Thursday, happy birthday to my sister. This is a very expensive time of the year for me. Just bang, bang, bang. And then, yeah, it's very expensive.
You better than me. Somebody got to go giftless.
It's a very expensive time of the year.
Somebody's gift is going to be that text.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
No, I can't. These are very special people in my life. I can't do them like that.
I don't blame it. Listen, people, you could have been anywhere in the world tonight. You were with us. Thank you. And make sure you continue to speak on it. My brother, listen, I'm gonna play a little bit of this Killer Mike album. This is this song is called Talking That Shit.
Okay.
Hold on. So as you can see, the concept of this, he talking to them folks that be talking that cash money. So you hear the little DJ Paul to sample? Come on, bro. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Huh?
We'll catch y'all next week.
Peace. Henny, stop scratching yourself.